All right. Well, let's pray. And if you want to get up and get some dessert or coffee or bring me some decaf or something, you know, feel the freedom. Feel the freedom. I'm good right now on my tea. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this night and these men and women, and boys and girls. Thank you for the time that we've had so far and for the fellowship that we have because of Jesus. I thank you for the delicious food that we've enjoyed and the delicious desserts. Thank you, God, for your provision in profound ways in our lives. We pray, Father, that again you would use this season and this time to knit us together as one body, one community in Christ, that we might show and share the love of Jesus with those around us. We pray that you would do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within this body. And thank you that you have not abandoned us, but you are working in powerful ways. We love you. We praise your name in Christ. Amen. All right. Does everyone have the book or the guide? If you do not, even if you forgot yours, there are additional guides available to you if you would like that. And I'd like for you to have the guide in front of you now, because the small group guide, because I promised you another drive-by guilting, and you have blank pages on the back that I'm going to ask you to write out a chart so that you can so that we can begin tonight with some scale of 1 to 5 stuff, which I know for some of you, you just broke out in cold sweats. But there are pens. Alex is going to get pens for you. All right, so here's what I want to do tonight as we begin. We ready? How many of you love answering questions on a scale of 1 to 5? How much of you love it? My wife loves it, so I want to do that for us tonight. I see some of our engineers raising their hands. Out of 6, yeah, okay. So here's what we're going to do, all right? I want to begin with a little bit of an experiment, okay? I want us to answer on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being no way, 2 being not really, 3 being maybe sometimes, 4 being mostly, and 5 being you bet. I want us to answer the following questions. They're going to break up into 2 categories. 1 is what should be, and 1 is how it really is, all right? So we're going to begin with the what should be category, and I've got some cues up here for you. Evangelism, prayer, mercy, Bible, and church, and I'm going to walk you through the questions. We ready for that? All right, first question. On a scale of 1 to 5, to what extent do you agree with this statement? Okay, to what extent do you agree with this statement? Here's the statement. Christians should share the gospel with people they know on a fairly regular basis. Christians should share the gospel with people they know on a fairly regular basis. You can just make your little chart, write it down, 1 to 5. 1 being no way, 5 being you bet, everything else in the middle, all right? Statement number 2. To what extent do you agree with this statement? Christians should be in an attitude of prayerfulness at all times. Christians should be in an attitude of prayerfulness at all times. To what extent do you agree with that statement? All right, third question. Christians should actively seek out ways to show mercy to what many call the quartet of the vulnerable, the poor, the orphan, the widow, and the alien, or the stranger. Christians should actively seek out ways to show mercy to the vulnerable, that is, the poor, the orphan, the widow, and the alien. That's the third one. Scale of 1 to 5, to what extent do you agree with this fourth statement? Here's the fourth statement. Christians should read their Bible regularly and actively learn from the Word of God. Christians should read their Bible regularly and actively seek to learn from the Word of God. That's our fourth statement. Statement number five. Christians should actively participate in the worship and work of the church through giving and service. Christians should actively participate in the worship and work of the church through service and giving. That's the fifth statement. That's the category of what should be. To what extent do you agree with those statements? Here's the category of how it really is. First question. On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being no way, 5 being you bet. To what extent is this statement true of you? I share the gospel with people on a fairly regular basis. I share the gospel with people on a fairly regular basis. Scale of 1 to 5. Number 2. I am in an attitude of prayerfulness all the time. I am in an attitude of prayerfulness all the time. Scale of 1 to 5. To what extent is that true of you? Number 3. I actively seek out ways to show mercy to the vulnerable around me, the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the alien. I actively seek out ways to show mercy to the vulnerable around me, poor, widow, orphan, and alien. Scale of 1 to 5. Are we tracking? Number 4. I read my Bible regularly and seek to actively learn from the Word of God. I read my Bible regularly and seek to actively learn from the Word of God. And number 5. I actively participate in the worship and work of the church through service and giving. I actively participate in the worship and work of the church through service and giving. All right, now here's what I want you to do. Take the left-hand side, which is the what should be, and I want you to add it up. All right, you didn't know you were going to be doing math tonight. I want you to add it up. Your wife can help you with that. She's a mathematician. All right, and then go to the right-hand column, how it really is, and I want you to add those up as well. Then divide each column by 5. And that'll give you your average. We there yet? We there on our average? I want you to take the left-hand number, average, take that and subtract the right-hand number from it. What should be and how it really is. Now, here's my question to you. I'm not going to ask you to give us the answers, your number. How many of you feel really guilty right now? Here's another statement for you. Maybe sometimes. Yeah, that's right. Here's another statement for you. To what extent do you agree with this statement? Christians should regularly confess their sins and failures to the Lord and rest in His grace for them. And number 6, I regularly confess my sins and failures to the Lord and rest in His grace for me. Starting right now. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Now, is there a pretty decent disconnect between the column on the right and the column on the left for you? There is for me. Now let me reassure you of the gospel, okay? Let me reassure you of the gospel, and then I'll explain why we did this as we move forward this evening. In 1 John 3:16-19, this is different than the gospel of John that we've been in. John wrote 3 letters at the back of the Bible, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, okay? And they were circular letters that went to different churches. And in 1 John 3, 16 through 19, John says this, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods, sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him." So if you're paying attention, you might say, wait a minute, Nate, how's that helping me? Because it just told me to love like Jesus, right? And to not shut my heart to those in need. And we all constantly do it, both actively and passively, right? But here's what John says right after that statement that I think is really important. John then goes on to say, "For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything." So, when we think about what the Bible calls us to as believers, and we do something like this, which I don't recommend doing on a very regular basis, all right? We need to go to somewhere like 1 John 3 and hear the grace of God wash over us. Whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. In other words, as Paul says it in Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? Listen, it's really important for us to start there tonight, because we're here to talk about ownership of the mission of God for his church. And if we're going to talk about ownership of the mission of God for his church, I think we need to first see how we all fall short and then be awash in the grace of God for us, who is greater than our hearts, right? Because often, as we talk about ownership of the mission of God for his church, I find this is the place where we often feel either most guilty or most prideful. Oh, I'm nailing, I'm better than he is, she is, that person is. It depends on who we compare ourselves to. Now, if you read the chapter, you know there is a fundamental difference between agreement and ownership. I think most of us struggle to connect these two things, right? But this, we're illustrating there is a difference between agreement, yes, we agree that these things are true, and ownership, yes, I do these things consistently, right? I mean, there's a fundamental difference between agreement and ownership. And most of us are going to struggle to connect these things. But we want to begin a conversation on shortening the gap between the agreement of God's mission for his church and ownership of God's mission for his church here at Calvary, okay? We want to close that gap with God's grace and mercy motivating us to do that. So how do we articulate God's mission here? Well, for the last year or so, particularly since the fall, we've been more intentional about this. We have articulated Calvary's mission this way, right? We exist to bring glory to God in this generation and the next by making disciples where we are and where we are sent, right? We exist to bring glory to God in this generation and the next by making disciples where we are and where we are sent. Now, it's important to note that we didn't just make this up out of nowhere or attempt in some way to be novel. The missiologist Ed Stetzer, just someone who studies missions, Ed Stetzer says this. He says, it's not so much that the church has a mission, right? Like, what's our mission? But instead, God's mission has a church. Or God has a church for his mission. In other words, God's mission comes first, because God comes first. So God comes first, and he has a mission that he's going to accomplish in the world through his people. And he has a church that's going to enact that mission. Does that make sense? It's God's mission, then community. God's mission, then a church sent out to fulfill that mission. So how we articulate that mission on a local level must conform to the way that God articulates his mission for the church and not the other way around. So when we talk about what it means to exist to bring glory to God in this generation and the next by making disciples where we are and where we're sent, we have camped out in two particular verses in the scriptures that talk about God's church and his mission. So Ephesians 3:21 says, "To God be the glory in Christ and in the church throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So that's where we get the bring glory to God in this generation and the next. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus sends out his disciples and he gives them a great commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples." Make disciples, by the way, is the only imperative in the text. It's literally, as you go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So when we put this all together, God's mission is to bring glory to his name through his church by having disciples from every tongue, tribe, and nation of the earth. He is bringing glory to his name through his church by having disciples from every tongue, tribe, and nation in the earth. I think this is really exciting because what it means is that when we invite you, when we invite one another into what we're doing here, we're not asking you to participate in a Calvary thing. We're not asking you to participate in our thing per se. But instead, we're inviting you to participate with us on God's mission and the unique expression and flavor that it takes in this particular local church. Does that make sense? And it does take a unique flavor in the local church. So then the question we need to consider tonight is, what does ownership of this mission look like to bring glory to God in this generation and the next by making disciples where we are and where we are sent? I've thought about this week. Are we giving you space to own this mission for yourself? Have we unintentionally erected barriers to having people own this mission for themselves? See, we believe that God has uniquely gifted this congregation with all the gifts that he wants to give her to do all she's called to do at this time. I mean, he may give us more people and he may give us more gifts, but right now he has given us exactly the gifts he wants to give us to enact his mission in our slice of the world. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-18 and 24-26 is how we're going to close as we move into our time together. Here's what it says about the uniqueness of the body of Christ in a local context. It says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." Here's what he says. "The body does not consist of one member, but of many. If a foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be?" If the whole body was an eye, it would be in the movie Monsters. "If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell?" Monsters, Inc., sorry. "But as it is," verse 18, "God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." Do you hear that? God arranges the members of the body. God puts them uniquely together as a local expression of his church to do what he would have his church do, to make disciples in that place. And then he goes on to say, "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there is to be no division in the body, but that all the members have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Here's the point. God knows what he's doing. And ownership of God's mission is a community project. Not every person is going to teach. Not every person does administration, or at least should. All right? Not every person prays passionately for hours a day, but some do. And some have the space to do that. Ownership means that we help one another find our giftedness and ways in which we can be part of God's mission in the world, because it's an incredible mission. And the cool thing is that we get to be a part of it. So as you break up into your groups this evening, you'll begin on page 21 which is the chapter on ownership. And you're going to first begin by reading through a scripture passage there from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's another way that the Bible expresses the mission of God through his church and the ministry of reconciliation that he gives to the church. But I want you to keep this body image in mind as you have this conversation about ownership tonight. So let's take 27 minutes, all right? Reconvene at 6:50. Reconvene at 6:50, and then we'll have a short debrief together. So if anyone wants to go in the library, you're welcome to do that, or you can stay in here with your group. That's fine as well, and the youth have their secret spot. All right. So are we good? Awesome. Thank you. All right, so how do we do? How was our conversation? Does someone have the traveling mic that you can help us with? If someone will help Andrew with that while he runs that, that'd be great. So as your group had conversation around this idea of ownership, all right, what it means to own the mission of God, and I would say ownership, participation, those two things, you know, participating in a way that it's yours. Okay, that you're doing so not out of compulsion, but out of a want to, stirred by the Holy Spirit. And so what are some immediate takeaways that you have tonight from your conversation together? Let me ask it a little differently. Yes, too. That's right. So, one of the questions I mentioned to our group that I would love to hear. This is not bash the session time. However, one of the things I'd like to know. I mean, I'm part of the session too, Jeff. You know, one of the things that I would like to hear from you as we talk about ownership. He's like, yeah, you're going to hear it next week. As we talk about ownership as a church, is one of the dynamics that I have seen in churches over the years is that there's a tendency for leadership to own a vision and to own how we make disciples or whatever it is, but helping a congregation to own that, sometimes there's a disconnect. And there's often a disconnect for those who are new. And so what I would like to hear is, maybe you had this discussion in your groups, maybe you didn't, but to what extent do you feel like you can own the mission of God in this church? And where maybe have we erected unnecessary or unintentional barriers to owning that mission in this church? And I particularly want to hear from folks who have been here fewer than 5 years on this. Doesn't mean you can't answer it if you've been here longer. So what barriers might exist here in this church to ownership? Go ahead, Ben.
I don't qualify.
You don't qualify, but you got really uncomfortable with the silence. It's fine. There's a lot of teachers in the room. They're very comfortable with the silence.
It doesn't bother me. it was interesting. One of the things, one of the comments that was made is sometimes the efforts seem random.
Yeah.
As opposed to some kind of coordinated effort.
Yeah. It's good. Martha?
I don't really feel like there's things that you know, anything that's in our way. I think that's what we're missing. I think that we have within us, you know, the Lord's Spirit to do great things for him. Mm-hmm. But I was studying Nehemiah this afternoon, and before he talked to the king. Before he even talked to the king, he prayed, he fasted and prayed. And then when he talked to the king to ask him if he could go back to Jerusalem, he silently prayed. You know, he was afraid of the king, but he silently prayed, you know, and then asked him. That's where God gave him the boldness. And so I think it's the prayer, being a house. For especially, if we come up with something, you know, that we want to take ownership and carry out to the community, to come together to pray for it, not just individually, but set aside a special time, even if it's 15 minutes after the service or something.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word, Martha. I mean, who's going to argue with that? Lisa! Lisa's going to argue with that. Oh, great.
A couple of thoughts is, and I also do not qualify as the been here less than 5 years. Sometimes I think we start something, but we don't really cast a good vision for it. Or possibly even sometimes I think about in terms of sell the idea. I don't know if that's good or not. But for an example for me is the writing letters to missionaries. I think that was a great idea, but the only time I ever saw it was in the bulletin on Sunday morning and on the email that I got. Whereas for me, personally, if there had been like a kiosk that said, here, come sign this card for the missionary, then I'd be like, oh, that's right, I need to do that, instead of just something that sort of goes in and out of my head at a time. And the other thing I think about sometimes is we need to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, sometimes as we look at new ideas, we don't always consider what have we been doing that's going well. And we go maybe sometimes totally in a different direction. So.
That can always be a danger. Yeah, very good. Any other thoughts on ways that maybe this is really an extent question, the extent to which you're able to own the mission of God in and through this church? What are the challenges to that? What are some of the sweet things to that? Tomas.
Well, sometimes you don't know that there's a need, because some of us want to do it all ourselves, and I don't need no stinking help, and I'll take care of it, and so I don't share that I need help with something, and so that's a barrier when we don't be a little more honest, and it's not even honesty. Maybe you can do it yourself, but maybe I ought to think about inviting someone to do it with me. Mm-hmm. It's more fun. They have other fresher, newer ideas, so maybe. Instead of being autonomous on something, invite somebody to do something with me.
I do want to say that I think our church leadership, both the session and the women in the church ministry, has done a good job of being open and ready to hear things. You know, the number of times that I've heard from the women in the church, you know, come to one of our meetings and you know, bring your ideas. I think is great. I don't feel like we have leadership that goes, we'll think of it and then we'll let you know what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I think both the session and the ladies are open to new ideas, and I appreciate that.
Excellent. Hope so. Any thoughts on this idea that it's not so much that we're on mission, but that God has a mission and invites us to play? Any thoughts on that? Is that new? How does that strike you? How does that help you or challenge you?
In the middle, just so that nobody can read.
We're coming to you, Josh. Coming to you next. That's right. He's reading up. Go ahead, Martha. Sorry.
Well, the quote that you gave us about how God arranges the members of the body and God knows what he is doing.
Yeah.
And so that encourages me, that he invites us to participate. But he's going to accomplish what he wants to. And I think that we need to be open, have an openness, or I do, more of an openness to what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be in prayer too. Mm-hmm. But he's going to get it done.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Following up on what Martha said reminds me of Henry Blackaby, who said, look and see where God is working and then go join him there. And that's really all what life is about.
Yeah. Our following. That's really good, Gwen. Did y'all hear that? Look and see what God is doing and then join in. That's really good. Takeaways tonight. Takeaways, encouragements, challenges.
One thing I was thinking was we're talking about the church body and ministering to each other and encouraging each other. I became aware I really want to get to know some of the people here that I don't know well.
Yeah.
And I think all of us should try to do that. And not just here in the church building, but truly getting to know each other so that we can really be friends and know how to pray for each other.
Yeah, that's great. Is there someone at this middle table who wants the last word?
You're a member of this middle table.
I've had all the words. I've had too many words. Or anyone else? Mark Reams, everybody.
I think one thing that
we're using it for the
really
recording.
Recording.
There's okay. Evidence here.
So that case, I think the one thing that's really spoken to me very loudly tonight is all the silence.
Yeah.
Silence is deafening. We had it in our group. We've had it here. I think this is something that we all naturally struggle with. I think every church struggles with to different extents. I think the big thing that I've taken away from this is that I and we need a lot of self-examination. So that's my big takeaway. But the part where I was encouraged the most was, okay, where do you start? What do you do? Like,
yeah.
Okay, all this theorizing is great.
Yeah.
What do you do? And it's what Gwen just said. The first word and what she just said, look.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to start. You have to look.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's great. That's great. These are designed to be conversation starters. You know, all of these weeks, if you're like me, kind of walk away going, goodness, you know, really could have had a much longer conversation about this. And this is designed for our groups and for us as a body made up of these groups to get these conversations started. You know, there are no delusions that we're a perfect church or no delusions that we have it all together. But also at the same time, where I want to encourage you is that the grace of God continues to be evident in and through this body. And the Holy Spirit is living and active in and through this body. And so in places where, I'm going to end where I began tonight, or at least where the punchline of where I began tonight, which is when your hearts condemn you, God is greater than your hearts. And what is it, Josh?
How, he knows everything.
He sees everything. He sees it all. Let me pray for us. I love you, by the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to have a candid conversation. Help us Help us, Lord, to get out of your way. We know we can't stop you, but Lord, there's a tendency, I think, sometimes for us to feel like we've got this and we don't need you. So I pray, based on Martha's sweet admonition tonight, that we would be a people of prayer, that we wouldn't move out into anything without bathing it in prayer, that we would not be a people who try to go on our own strength with whatever it is that we do. So Lord, as we look toward an uncertain future, which all futures are, but particularly in this season of change, we ask that you would build within us a holy desire and angst to come to you, and a discontentment with status quo, that we might fall on our knees before you and ask you to show us where to look. Open our eyes that we might see what you're already doing and get on board with that. Thank you, God, that you love us. You love this church. Thank you that Jesus gave his very life for her. May we honor Christ in all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.